And if you come to our nation, the water spirit influencing our nation is the Leviathan spirit. So, you have Leviathan, you have a man who has become a priest to him, and some of our political leaders have paid this price. There was a time the Lord, if you read our book, God's Eternal Plan for Nigeria, you read about Abia State. If you read it, you know the person I was talking about. Now, that person received a seat from Satan. And till today, the architecture he set in place is still speaking. And then the heavens, Lucifer sits there, water spirit. Because there are three levels of power on earth. For you to have real power, you have to control the three levels. If you read Philippians chapter 2, let's look at it. It was addressing the Lord Jesus Christ. But it said God gave him access to power at three tipping points. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things in the waters. Heaven, earth, under the earth, the waters. Where the three meet, a spirit in heaven, a water spirit, a priest on earth, a man, and they unite and raise an altar. For you to disfigure that architecture, you have to come from the realm of God. Because the mystery of triangles is actually something God enacted in Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. When that rebellion in heaven took, you know, got to a tipping point, God expelled those demons. The thing caused disorder on the earth with flooding, with darkness and blackness. The Bible says in verse 2, the Spirit of God moved or began to brood upon the face of the waters. The way the Lord showed me the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit spread his hand like this, and that hand he spread created a force. Created something that began to address that darkness. That is what the occult copy. If you go to some state houses, go to Washington, you'll see the architecture is like this. It's a triangle. If you bring the map of Nigeria, this is our map. Something like this. Me not so. Where is this place? This is our map. Let it stand for this. Where is this place?
Charge.
Yeah? That's Charge. I'm just saying
Nigeria. Okay. That's Borno.
This is Borno. Where is this place?
Sokoto.
Where is this place? This one is River. No, this one is River. This one is Bayelsa. If you do this architecture, triangle, this is what you get. This is the seat of the caliphate.
Yes, sir.
Now, the man, Osman Dankodio, made a transaction with Satan where he received Nigeria as an estate. You know, have you listened to some of these people talk? What do they say? That God gave them Nigeria. You know, we've been praying about that thing, but sometime God came and began to say to me, deal with that issue. That they are not just making statements. You know the time we went to Abuja, okay, you didn't come for that meeting. The time we had that strategic court session, it was part of what we addressed. To say to him, this your claim is wrong. The earth is a loss and the fullness thereof. And we said to him, even if you did it in that time, God now has sons in Nigeria. And we are revoking that priesthood. But it must be addressed. And God gave him a staff. Because, you know, eventually he overcame this kingdom.
Yes, yes.
There are Muslims here. The throne of the, what do you call it? The what's the name of their crown? What of Boronu?
Shehu
was on the throne before this man. God, sorry, this person overcame him and the king of other things. And then if you come here, River State, where is your Minister of Transport? He has an altar. These people are coming from somewhere. Where is this one here now? These are some of the most important places in Nigeria. Remember, our former president was part of what worked against him was actually the altar of his fathers, because even his brothers were making divination against him to control him when he was president. You remember, Brother John, the day we went to Bayelsa, God showed us where he was tied under the waters. And some people from community, were making demands on him. And he was so weak. So, if you want to take Nigeria, you must deal with Sokoto. You must deal with Borno. You must deal with Bayelsa and Rivers. Here, you have Brass.
Yes.
Here, you have Boni. The oil you are fighting for, most of them are here in those places. But if you go to those places and see how they live, how poor, you will be shocked. I don't know if you've gone to Boni before. If you come to Boni, if you come to the, what do they call it, the gas installation, the LNG something, you are not in Nigeria. It's like you are in paradise. But look across. A brother who works with Mobil, at the time they made him in charge of Mobil Foundation to organize. They voted how many billion to do some things in the community. They fought themselves and told them, keep that money until we settle. Because they said, don't build anything for us. Give the money to us. The one they gave you, you didn't account for it. And then they said, okay, we are going to build. We will employ your people. Two communities fought themselves to a standstill. And the brother told us that the money is lying there, untouched. That they've grown appeal to each side. If you think it's being settled, sometimes youths come from their own and begin to fight. Then, if you do the reverse of this map, and you do the triangle like this, where is this place? You are in Kano Kastina. Where is this place?
No.
You are in Lagos.
No.
Here is Calabar. Here. You are in Lagos. If you come to this place, this gate is by Unilag. I don't know if you know that picture. If you go to this place, you will see an obelisk. Where they built an obelisk. Wherever you see an obelisk, that place is a gate. It's a place of access into the spiritual world. And if you research history, they said that Awolowo used to go with his driver to this place and go under the water for a season. But there was a time God asked us to go there. If you now go there, you see the water I was talking about in Calabar.
the urban beach. And this water has produced one of the most dangerous men that lived in Nigeria, Olukolu.
There was a time, majority of the people that went into politics in the South were his disciples. You go to him. Many of them. And so, if you go there now and do church, don't you have churches in Calabar? If you go to Calabar, what churches? Many of the churches you have is water spirit churches. Your sisters prophesied, but it is the corruption that comes from this altar. So God has to raise another order of priesthood who will understand these things and begin to address it and deal with them. You know, like what we were going to do in the waters in the morning. I was telling them that God has been strategic about this place, because the first thing God did was to send a priest here. Go and stay. Because if you deal with it and go, are they not going to go back and... So, this is what is wrong with the nations of Africa. If you study pastoral Fulanis, how they go, if they go to any community, the first thing they do is to identify the water that influences that community. They go and make covenant with that water. And after they make covenant, they go to the market. If you go to any place, where do they build their house? In the market. And say, give me a small parcel of land. Before you know it, they have spread. Before you know it, they are asking for their own amen. And before you know it, they use violence to try to take over the territory. That is what happened to the Hausa kingdoms. Yeah. Fulanis in Nigeria are like 7 million. 7 million. Nigeria is how many? So, 7 million people are controlling 192 million. Does it make sense? It is something that was configured for them by their fathers. And they have been faithful to it. They are not faithful to it. They are not loyal to Islam. They are not loyal to your nation. They are loyal to their altar, the altar of their fathers. So if you bring somebody with that allegiance and say, come and be our king, you have just given him power to pursue and execute an ancient conspiracy. There is no northern problem in Nigeria. What we have is a Fulani problem. If you go to the north, there are more Christians. If you go really, if you go to some of these places, you come and see the corner where they put Christians, you will cry. If you go to Kaduna, the Jigawa state, you won't get land. Now, where will you get land to build their churches? If you go to Jigawa, where they have the churches, just one line of road like this. Yeah, so that they can run them. No facility will come there. The road will not be sad. The water, the sewage, and everything. Praise the Lord. So, if we don't understand this architecture, so if they send you to Ekpe, what is the first thing you are supposed to do? You are supposed to do spiritual man. Understand the architecture of the place. Where is the gate into the water? And to find it out, if you do this map and this triangle, if you bring a map and do this triangle, it will show you the spiritual point. Sometimes if you know the market, sometimes if you know the copper's house, because those people also side spiritually, they will build on these gates. Because they want to get into the kingdoms and out. If you don't deal with these things, you cannot establish true ministry in any place. You can have a church clapping hands and meeting on Sunday and growing in number, but it will not be able to produce Christ. And then this one, it takes risk to address. It takes consecration. It takes people who are willing to fight. But if you don't do it, especially in Africa, you cannot produce a people of Christ that can take the government of the nation. Because this is also how our nation is configured. If you look at this, if you want to take Nigeria, you have to take Sokoto, you have to take Rivers, you have to take Bayelsa. You have to take that gate. Then, now, having talked about the problem, how do we address the waters and redeem it? I'd like to bring another scripture, Psalm 24, verse 1. And then I'll say a few more things so that we can close. Psalm 24, we've read that scripture before. Psalm 24, let me read from verse 7 again. Let me read from verse 6. It says, this is the generation of them that seek the Lord, that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Then I said to us that there are gates that resist the coming of the kingdom of God. God wants His kingdom to come to the marketplace. God wants His kingdom to come to our communities. God wants His kingdom to come to the educational sectors. God wants His kingdom to come to the place of governance. God wants His kingdom to come to the churches. But there are gates that resist this kingdom. Let me mention some of these gates. And then we now deal with how to redeem the waters. There are gates of thrones. Ezekiel chapter 28, we read it. Somebody who said that his throne was in the middle of the sea. There are gates into the bodies of waters, gates into the rivers. Nahum chapter 2, verse 6. There are gates of access to hidden riches. You know, we control this. We addressed this yesterday. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3, talks about hidden riches of secret places. Now, God sometimes hides wealth dispensationally. And there are wealth that God has given hidden, covered, so that the generation that will execute this assignment concerning Nigeria will have access to it. And this wealth is hidden in the waters and covered by these kingdoms. So, if you want to, like we said yesterday, that the preaching of the gospel will cost money. For you to have access to this wealth, you have to pray out these things we are talking about. Because it is the water kingdoms that keep it and make sure that they give access to these things to their children. A sister, some of us here know her, she worked in Diamond Bank. She was going to be made executive director, whatever they call it. One of their best staff. But she was a Christian. It got to a point where she was to be made executive director. They started inviting her to certain meetings, dinner. From dinner, night meetings in Metropolitan Club. You know, some of those clubs are actually Ogboni Court and Freemason. And after a time, it became clear to her that they were trying to get her to join. And then she spoke to their organ to say, you know, I can't do this, I'm a Christian. That one began to encourage her that, well, these things, they are not really what you think they are. But that if you don't do this, the other ones will not accept you. And she said, I can't do this, I'm a Christian. They told her, resign. There are some oil companies, not all, for you to get to some level, you are in something. You are either a mason or something. But God wants access to these things to be given to his children. I've told you, ordinary fisherman, you have to do something. Many courts that control the different trades, then there are continental gates. If you read Isaiah chapter 19, I shared with us one of Africa's assignments is to preach the gospel of the kingdom that will take the 1040 gospel window nations. Nations that are totally closed and opposed to Christ and the gospel. Nations where it is abomination to bring the Bible. Americans have tried to reach them, they couldn't. Europeans have tried. God said they can't reach them because he's given to Africans. But the gates of these nations are closed to the gospel. Remember, Paul said that very great opportunity has been provided for me, but there are what? Adversaries. That a door of access has been opened for me to go to the nations, but there are adversaries. Can you go to Saudi Arabia and do evangelism? You will be beheaded. But God wants evangelism to be done in Saudi Arabia. So God's promise to Africa is actually the evangelism of power. The first fruit of it was a man like Babalola. God wants to raise prophets and apostles from Africa that will come in the power of God as of old, that will go to these nations. If you go to the Holy Spirit, you are not going to speak grammar. Is your power that you bring that will make them to submit to your God, because they are spiritual people. There are people in there's an imam now, he's in just being discipled, that Christ appeared to him in the mosque. He entered into, and Christ appeared to him and talked to him, said, this thing you are doing, you are looking for truth, there is no truth in this. Because you know some of them are honest. Yes. They think that is the way. Yes. But the Lord said, I see in your heart you are searching for truth. This is not the truth. I am the truth. And then he came and began to say it in the mosque. They arrested him. They brought the decision. The day they wanted to speak, you know their decision is organized. They wanted to kill him. He told them, I'm your imam. I'm the one that has been teaching you. Why can't you listen to me? They left him and then they took him to their imam. And when they push him here and there, they say this one has gone. They communicated it. God now asked him to go to the church of my friend. My friend, the pastor, some of us here know him, have a church in Abuja. Do you know, because of that man, they pulled down his church. They brought caterpillar one morning and ran through the place with equipment and brought it down. But the young man is in just now, preaching with power. He goes to mosques. They want to stone him. He will disappear. Amen. You know, those things we see in the Bible, if we begin to go, those powers are there. And that is the only thing that will touch those people. It won't be English, no. It is power. Some of those places, even, you may not need visa. God may carry you physically the way he carried Philip, and you will appear there and speak, and God will take you out. This is what God promised Africa. The evangelism that is coming is backed with the power of God. This is what Derek Prince said, that he had that word to say to Africa, but we were not ready. But now that the season has come, for people to arise and begin to seek for this thing, that the time has come for that outpouring to take place. Because Joel 2 must be fulfilled. that the glory of God will cover the nations as the water covers the sea. God will display his power on earth before he takes away the church. It's going to be a glorious church. And that last part has been committed to Africa. Then there are gifts of the constellation. Job chapter 38 from verse 31. God was speaking to Job. Since you say you are a wise man, have you spoken to the stars? Do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Can you speak to Mazaroth and tell it to take hold of the earth and perform the assignment of heaven? Deborah was a prophetess, but she understood some of these things I'm saying. And she knew she didn't have to fight in her power as a woman to overcome a strong man like Jabin. And she began to speak, and her prayers and intercession provoked the stars, and they began to loosen the wheels of Jabin's chariot, Sisera's chariot, until a woman killed him. There are some strong men that think they have power. Women and even girls is what God will use to bring them to their end. Anything God has done before, he can do it again. I was in Togo when Abacha died. We were in one place. Before you knew it, the whole street was rejoicing. I started asking, what is happening on the street? Then somebody shouted, Abacha is dead. Nigerians were dancing on the street of Togo. They took the street over. May I not die the death of a wicked man? Death that when you die, people will be celebrating. Then there are gates in the galaxies. There are gates of access. I've mentioned 8. I will mention 10 and stop. There are gates of access into redemptive blessings. Redemptive and redemption blessings. Now, let me give one example. If you come to Lagos, for example, you know that transportation in Lagos is lucrative because there are passengers. But I challenge you tomorrow, go and buy a bus or taxi and put it on this street and see whether you'll be able to ride it. You are going to see that on this street there is somebody that is not doing anything that all the drivers report to. If you don't do it, you can't run on this street. And when I began to look at it and interrogate it, every motor park in Lagos State, let me not say other places, there is an altar to Ogu. I'm not saying go to any motor park. There is an altar. Some years back, I was still doing business. We had a proposal to sell land to a bank. And then I secured a site in Agege area. Somebody, the person who owned it was a local government chairman. But since the place was empty, drivers now begged him, let's be using this place and giving you money. He said, well, anytime you want to do, you will go out. They came and stayed there. Before you do it, they have erected an altar there to Ogun. That man didn't know. So when we negotiated with him, we brought the bank people to come and inspect the place so they can give us our check. But the brother, that time Intercontinental Bank, that came from the bank, was a Yoruba man. Me, I'm not Yoruba. I've gone to a place, I knew the land was genuine, that we are dealing with the owner. But then the brother now came with me one day. We passed there. Once he looked at that place, he said, heaven. He said, boy, this one is no go area. I told him, what is this? He said, you don't understand it. This is an altar to Ogun. I told him, but you're a Christian, what is this thing? I said, just pay, give me the contract, I will remove this thing. He said, if his MD is also a Yoruba man, he has that he did this, that he will lose his job. Do you know, that's how they left. And that man was not able to sell that place to anybody. Even after he forced them, because he was a government person, He came, used power and this thing to remove them. They left Beth. So, they said they worship the God of Iron. Every driver, except few, that may be genuinely born again, they go and believe they have to do something before they can drive on this street. So if as a driver, you bring your vehicle and put on that distance without having a priesthood to deal with that, that your vehicle will not change you. I've done transport business before. You know what I'm talking about. So there are redemptive blessings like that that are covered by darkness. It is given to the sons of God to bring liberation to this place. Just as the fisherman in Uganda, you can fish when was there without compromising his salvation. You can't drive taxi in Lagos without compromising, except. So what is a driver waiting for in Lagos? A priest that will be a driver who will come in strength to say, no, we will do it differently. Who is going to raise that priest? Our clapping hand of churches can't do it. It has to be a church that rolls the sleeve, that will come some days, no dancing, no clapping. You'll just sit down and begin to address this. It has to be a church that hears God, that hears. That we come to the place of waiting. God will speak into your ear, say, this is what to do. It has to be a people of sacrifice. Because God may take a generation to remove that thing. They may not make profit. But others will come after them, who will now ride on their back and take over the industry. So if we are saying that we are waiting for dominion, there's a price for dominion. These people pay prices. If you tell them kill their mother, they kill. Then there are gates of wisdom and knowledge. There are other gates, but this is where I will stop for time. There are gates of wisdom and knowledge. You know, in Matthew, I believe chapter 15, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and lawyers. He said, woe unto you lawyers, except me, brother Isaac, that you lock the key of wisdom. You do not enter, and then you don't allow others to enter. Are there not pastors like that?
Mm-hmm.
In our midst today. They stand in the door and block the gates. They don't want to get into the deeper waters. And they don't want other people to get it. They use programs and other things. They just keep you on a seat. Even when you are tired, you can't leave. You know, I heard from people that if you leave a church, the pastor will curse you. I said, that pastor himself, is he beyond cursing? No child of God will do that. Because the truth of the matter is, this church, who owns it? Jesus. He is the one that decides the place of service. And place of service can change. You can work in Diamond Bank today, tomorrow. The assignment is in Central Bank. And in the course of life, because natural things must interpret spiritual things. The teacher who taught you in primary school, is he the one that is teaching you in secondary? If you had the same teacher, you will amount to nothing. There comes a time when a particular teacher exhausts his own syllabus.
Yes.
God must take you to another place where you can be fed. It doesn't destroy relationship because we belong to the same kingdom.
Yes.
So if you release that one onto higher purposes, God will send you other people to teach. That is how it works. And we must understand this. And as long as we are not doing it in rebellion, there comes a time when somebody, God's purpose is finished. He can't take you further. You must be willing to follow the Lord. That is what Revelation 14 comments. Those who follow the Lord, whithersoever he goeth. And then finally, because we are here, let me talk of one other gate. There are gates of exit from the physical realm.
If you are going to overcome occultism, you must understand this. Two systems to save the gates of the universe. It's actually something like this.
I wish we had a projector.
I would have shown you. If you come to any major gate of a river,
you are going to have something. This is what you will see, something like this. That place is like a cross. Yes, from that place, this place is in the bottom of the river. There's a place that leads to the astral world. Now, I want us to understand that every of these things we are describing is a creation of God. God created different things to serve different purposes. But what happened is that in the fall, there are regions Satan took over and colonized. And I'm going to bring the scripture in Romans chapter 8 that says that all these things and kingdoms are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That creation itself is yearning for liberty, to be liberated from the bondage into which Satan took them. Now, if somebody dies and that person is a Christian, there is an angel that's going to stand in this place. Because if you pass like this, you're going to heaven. Because what happens when somebody dies is that God sent an angel with a vehicle to come and pick the person. If you're a Christian and you die, well, some people, it is the Lord's own transport or chariot that will come for you. That's what happened to Elijah.
Yes.
There are people when they die, it is the Lord himself that come in his own vehicle to pick them. There are people they use buses to pick. Yeah, there are some buses that pick many people at the same time. But there are people, because of the value of your service to God, and it doesn't have to do with position, zippo or anything. It just has to do with how faithful you are. The Lord will say, this faithful servant might even send one apostle or preacher that has influenced you, that has made him say, go with this angel and bring this man home. So, the same place, you see the gate in heaven, it's not up, it goes right. This one goes to the astral world, this one goes to the mental world. Then, if you read Luke, it is chapter 16, that talks about that scripture where the rich man died.
Yes.
Do we remember?
Yes.
The Bible says that the rich man died and that he was in Hades. Eh? Then the poor man died, Lazarus, and he was in Abraham's bosom. He's describing that border. Now, that is the place where God kept people before the resurrection of Christ. You remember that when the Lord rose from heaven, if you read Matthew chapter 27, the Hades were opened. Abraham's bosom gave up the righteous that were there, and many of them joined the Lord as first fruits and went to heaven. And so those people have received their resurrection body, and they are like first fruits to God, functioning in the fullness of their redemptive body. So, in that place in Hades, one side of it is Hades, one side of it is Abraham's bosom. And that Hades is dark, but Abraham's bosom is actually a city that God built to keep those people there before the resurrection of Christ, when he will come for them. And what happened, you know, there's a scripture in Luke chapter 10, where the Lord was speaking, that I saw Satan fall as lightning. He was describing what happened here. Because what happened is that when Satan thought he had succeeded in killing Christ, he brought some demons that were in Hades and told them, I have succeeded. in that rebellion. The Son of God himself, we have killed him, he is here. And he told them that they should come to this place and watch. First day, Jesus did not rise. Second day, Jesus did not rise. And some of them now started coming to the borders of this Hades to observe the imprisonment of the Lord. If you read from Psalm 13, 14, read Psalm 18. That is what he's describing. Psalm 22. The Lord was praying from this realm. And he was saying, how long? Are you going to forget me here forever? Have you read it in your Bible?
Yes,
Psalm 13. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? Daily, how long shall my enemies be exalted over me? These are prayers of Christ in the grave. Then Psalm 18. He said, Psalm 18, he was describing how the Lord came for him. Psalm 18, from verse 15. The channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered.
He's describing this place. So you can put Psalm 18 here.
And then God himself now became angry, and his hand came down to fetch him. And when the Lord's hand came down, Satan and all those angels,
yes,
because the Lord, the Holy Spirit just quickened him, and he rose up like flash of light. And that flash of light blinded and deformed those demons. Till today, if you see them, they are still deformed from that resurrection experience. There are demons and fallen angels that you see. Their face and mark is distorted. It was the damage from the resurrection. So when the Lord, he came up from within himself, and the light that emanated from him dissolved their faces and disfigured them forever. That same power is available to us. That is what Ephesians chapter 1 was saying. That the same power that rose Christ from the dead, the same power that defeated the hordes of angels who were waiting to celebrate the defeat of the Son of God. That is what Colossians chapter 2 was describing. That he made a public spectacle of death.
Sure.
Have you read it in your Bible?
Yes.
That is what he made. They thought they were coming to see a show.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Son of God would be disgraced.
Yeah.
But then he rose in power and disarmed and disarmed them for him. And so when that God says, go and address the water, you are going with all the powers in heaven. Just as Satan didn't have answer then, he doesn't have anyone now. So there is nothing to fear. It's just to meet the condition of God. To be sure you are paying the price in priesthood. That you have a repentant heart. That you are going in the company of other saints. That you are not going out of presumption or self-will, but you are going in obedience because you want to see the kingdom. You don't have a motive to build your own empire. You just want to see the kingdom of God established. So these are gates of exit from this world. There are demons there. You talk of sub-cults that talk of astral kingdom. That is what they are talking about. The talk of astral travel. Have you heard it before?
Yeah.
That's what he said. These are spiritual places God built, but he didn't design it for what they are using it.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham's bosom is a city God built in the lower part of the earth to keep people who served him in faith before the resurrection of Christ. Because nobody could come to heaven ahead of Christ. The same way nobody will be older than Christ in heaven. His physical age on earth when he died was 33. Nobody will be more than 33. Every person will be 32 down. So if you see Abraham, Noah, Methuselah, no matter how long they live, they are all young men. So the invitation the Lord is calling us to come into this territorial priesthood to receive answers for our nation is a serious invitation. And we must respond. I don't know whether there's any other thing more important than this. If we don't have access to this, forget about what we are saying about our nation. We cannot see it. Because it will take a generation to redeem that throne. With all the corruption it has experienced. The question is it our generation or will it be our children? Amen. Amen. May we have what it takes to pay the price. So, finally, if we're talking about redemption of the waters, let me read one scripture, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It says, for the earnest expectation of the Creator waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the Creator was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the Creator itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So, the gospel is in phases. Can we have one of our, that gospel of the kingdom? There's the gospel of salvation, an appeal to individuals to choose Christ. Paul said, I beg you by the mercies of God, be reconciled to God. One stage of the gospel. There's the gospel of the kingdom that takes beyond individuals to taking nations. Another stage. There's also the everlasting gospel that will bring liberty to all creation. God is calling us. This is what we try to explain here. The gospel of the kingdom. It's not only salvation. Salvation is the beginning. Our gospel must grow in stature until we can win some nations. Starting from our nation. That is why God says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance. Which other African nation do we want to bring into the millennium? Most of African nations are deep in occultism. So, as creation is waiting for us, what are the things, if you now say, okay, let us pay the price and redeem this water so that we can redeem our nation. Number one, we must recognize the issues. What are the voices speaking in the various bodies of waters that we have in our nation? Some of these waters, because of their configuration, are places of witchcraft. And that is what happens in Ekpe. If you go towards the east, you see in Enugu state sometime, there was a water that used to just come out. And people will be going there and say that it's for healing. Have you heard of such water?
Yes.
Is it God that does that? It's actually water spirits that just come out and people will start going there for worship. And some people actually get relief for a few years and then they end up with a worse affliction. So we have to recognize the issues. What are these voices that are speaking over the waters? Then number two, we now have to bring repentance for every corruption that has influenced the waters. The idols that are raised by the fathers, the covenants made by the fathers, the marine kingdom in the waters, because these kingdoms will not function without dedication. It is people that go to those demons and say, be our God and protect us. And then those demons will say, well, I need your land. And every 10 years you will come and worship me and give me a sacrifice. So we need to repent for those things and then address the specific issues in those environments. Then after we have repented, we now resist. So recognizing, repentance, resisting is now the warfare, the prayers we did yesterday to sack those spirits. And then when we are dealing with those kind of prayers, we must base it on scripture. We must wait, and the Lord will speak to us and bring scriptures that will address those kingdoms in the waters. And then, after doing that, we rededicate it to God. Because what we wanted to do in the morning, after doing those prophetic actions, was to rededicate these waters back to God. And in doing these things, we have to recognize some instruments. Number one, the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, a price was paid for every part of creation to be redeemed from corruption. If you read Revelation chapter 13 verse 8, it says that even before the foundations of the earth was laid, the blood of Jesus was already on the earth. Do you understand? So the drama of the cross was just to enact what has already happened and concluded in eternity past. A day came when the Lord just came and played it out. Our lives also are concluded stories in eternity. We are supposed to follow the book written about us and play out what God has written. That's why the Bible says in the volume of the book, it is written concerning me. And God is saying that through this retreat, He wants to read again the script of scrolls of people for them. So they can see what is written concerning them and their assignment. Many of us are doing other people's job. There's no reward for that. We have to have the courage to return and face our own assignment. Then we have to recognize the voice of the Word of God. If you read Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that there was chaos, and God said. So the Word of God that brings the cedars is the Word of God that brings judgment to these waters and the kingdom. If you read 1 Kings, I think chapter 13, where that young prophet was addressing the altar, it's the Word of God he spoke. He said, by the word of God, this altar you will become dissolute. And then, the primacy of the Holy Spirit. If you read Genesis 2, it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God began to brood. I've shown you what happened that day when the Holy Spirit spread His hand over the waters and created a force that created the condition for that body of water to behave itself. If you read Psalm 33, it is instruction that God gave to the oceans and said, this is your boundary, you can't pass it. Have you seen this Atlantic Ocean when it's full? It will be doing as if it will do anything. But the boundary, God has said, this is your boundary. So the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the Holy Spirit. And then sometimes there may be need to do some prophetic action using some elements to redeem the waters. For example, in Jericho, we know the scripture, they told Elisha that this water is good, but the land is good, but the stream is bitter. What did Elisha say? Bring me a cruse of salt. And then he took salt and went into the ocean and poured it. And the water became healed. Now, what is salt to us in our generation? Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Do you understand? What is the salt of the earth? A Christian that has the signature of Christ on him, that has the DNA, that is living by the standard of the gospel. If you are not this salt, and you carry ordinary salt, as some of our prophets normally do, and go and pour into the water, will it speak anything?
No.
You have to be the salt before you can deploy salt. You have to be an altar before you can raise an altar. You know, some days I went to one market around the Uju Eleba. I saw a group of traders, and each one spread salt in their shop, in front of their shop. And they say that sometimes witches trouble them in Ghana. And some of them who have money bought bigger heaps of salt. So it's not by the quantity of salt. It is by your life before God. Because we have people deploying salt, deploying school. Since we started deploying all those things, what has happened? It is because our state. So the last statement I would like to make is that these different oceans have their voices. Number one, if you look at the Indian Ocean, this is an ocean of affliction. The water that influences this ocean is the water from the flood of Noah. The Pacific Ocean, the Lord said that the Pacific Ocean is an ocean of occultism. That the water that influences this ocean is the water from the deep when the rebellion in heaven was judged. Then the Southern Ocean is the ocean of conflict and war, corrupted mainly by certain angels that were expelled from heaven. There were 13 of them and they were violent angels. If you go to the Southern Ocean in South Africa, you know, in South Africa there is a place, the Southern Ocean meets with the Indian Ocean. That is one of the power centers in the world. And South Africa now gradually is going back to ancestral worship. And they are legalizing it. In South Africa, there are some universities now that teach witchcraft. When I read it, I was asking, have we exhausted things in medicine, computer science studies? Why are we now going to pay people to teach witchcraft? And they were advertising for applications. I said they should come to Nigeria. Why are they? And they will hire enough witches. Then the Atlantic Ocean is the ocean of mercy and the doorway to salvation. The water that influences the Atlantic Ocean is actually the water from the throne of God. That is why in the last days of the gospel, the Lord will send men again from the Atlantic to go to the nations. This place is strategic because I told you the water there is actually the eastern gate of the Atlantic Ocean. So we are in a gate where God wants to raise missionaries that will go to the nation. Not only Bible teaching missionaries, apostles, missionaries that will go with business to the nations. Because the strategy God will give us for the gospel will be different. There are some nations, what will reach them is medical missions. We just carry doctors and go and help them. There are some, what we meet, reach them is teachers. We just carry professional teachers and go and set up schools. There are some, what we reach them is mercy work. We go with nurses and doctors. There are some, what we reach them is money. We go with money bags who will come and build industries there. God wants to raise those giftings in his house. That's what he's telling us to come. So that he can put us in our place of assignment. So that he can open the treasures of riches hidden in secret places. Because if God is asking us to go to the nations now, he has money for the assignment somewhere. It's just that we've not met the money. But we will meet it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now let's begin to pray. The first prayer, if this is Brother Isaac's own word, let it become nothing. Let it throw it away. But if it is the word God has for his church at this time, Revelation 1 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. At this time, may the Lord make it our own revelation. That is not just something we have Brother Isaac say. May let the Lord give us light by his Spirit. Let the Lord deepen it. Let the Lord give us interpretation. Let the Lord localize it for us. Show us in our environments what we ought to be doing.
The Lord gave us a promise that He was going to send David again to come and teach true worship.
Are there ministers who want to connect to that promise of God? That when they begin to worship, heavens will open. People will not need to struggle to hear God. When they begin to worship, the portals will open. And access to heavenly riches and blessings will become easy.
Lord, do it for us. This is what we seek. Let's tell the Lord we are willing. We are willing, Lord. Prepare us, teach us, and use us.
Lord, interpret this for us. Make it an executable instrument. Something that is not just a teaching in our notes, but something we can actually use
to deal with situations that confront us in our place of assignment.
That when we go to some marketplaces or even in our houses, if there are others in the water speaking there, we will have a voice to silence it. If there are people who say they do astral kingdom, we will tell them the astral world is not your creation.
You don't have dominion there. It belongs to God.
Yes.